Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the SIS Limited Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vineet Toshniwal, President, M&A and IR from SIS Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to SIS Q4 earnings call. I hope you've all gone through the results as they were uploaded yesterday on the stock exchange. So let me start by reporting this quarter. As a group, our initiative has been to repair our margins and continue to focus on growth. This is the initiative we took in FY24. So both in terms of customer contract as well as focus on the SG&A cost throughout the year. So for Q4 FY24, revenue is up 4.7% on a year-on-year basis, while EBITDA is up 11% on a year-on-year basis. We've reported now highest-ever annual revenue of 12,261 crores and an EBITDA of 584.5 crores for FY24. Consolidated EBITDA margins have now improved from 4.5% same quarter of last year to 4.8% this quarter. Leading this improvement in margins was our India security business, where margins have improved substantially from 5% in the same quarter last year to 5.5% in this quarter, a change of over 50 basis points. In the international security business, we crossed the milestone revenue of 5,000 crores for FY24. Additionally, happy to report that our Singapore Henderson business continues its journey of profitability for Q4 FY24 through a combination of management's focus on cost rationalization, shedding unprofitable contracts, and new business growth. As you can see in this quarter, we've also recognized an impairment of 65.6 crores. We continue to be the largest player in facility management space in India, and we've crossed a milestone revenue of 2,000 crores in FY24. We're continuing to witness tailwinds in the sector, with demand increasing for integrated service providers. Now, talking about cash business, it's done very well. Cash business surges ahead with superior profitability metric, with an EBITDA margin of 18.2%, a growth of 200 basis points year-on-year, and a PAT margin of 7.7% this quarter. So overall, we're very happy with the business momentum and also particularly the increase in margins. We continue to focus on innovative solutions for customers through SIS Ventures platform. As an extension to that, we've made a minority investment in Agarsha Senior Care, otherwise known as Imoha, an elder care platform, by acquiring 4% through a combination of primary and secondary investments. This adds synergistic adjacencies for our facility and security businesses. So with this, I would like to hand over the call to Raj for his opening comments, and then we will take Q&A after that.
Thank you, Vineet. Very good afternoon to everybody, and welcome to this call today. Thank you for taking the time. FY24, like Vineet has already summarized, has been a year of margin improvement for us. We have come very close to a 5% margin target for this year. It's almost a 0.5% improvement over last year, 4.3% to close to 4.8%. If you look at the quarterly EBITDA in rupee terms, it's also hovering around the 150 crore per quarter mark. In terms of growth, if you remove the 5% growth that came from our international operations. The Indian operations, security and FM, grew at 11%. Certainly not our best year, but this is still 1.5x GDP growth. We believe that this result of significant improvement in margins with 11% growth in India is with only one engine firing, which is security services in India. As we see over the next 12 months, the other three engines, FM, SIS International and M&A, all three are looking in good shape, and we are very excited by the prospects of the coming quarters. Having said that, I must also mention that our plans to demerge and list our cash operations are well on track. We have appointed our advisors and bankers. The demerger scheme is almost ready, and in a matter of few weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, we will get into the SEBI and NCLT processes. So overall, I think we are looking at an exciting year ahead and a solid year behind us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, wait for the moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Balaji from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. I actually have three questions. So in the opening remarks, you did mention that the India business did somewhere around 10 to 12% revenue growth in FY24. So if we have to lift this to high teens, you know, what do you think will be the key factors? That is number one. The second question is on the FM segment, where you have mentioned planned disbandment of certain low margin contracts. But if I look at the margins, I can see that, you know, at 3.9, they are at a multi-quarter low. So what explains this divergence, and going forward, how do you see the revenue growth and margins in the FM business? So those would be my two questions. Third question, I will come.
Thanks, Balaji. This is Rituraj. So around growth, so the growth in our business is a function of basically, like in any industry, it's price and volume. And our price is determined by minimum wage inflation. What you see this year as growth of 11 to 12% is largely volume growth. There hasn't been any significant minimum wage driven price increase, which we hope will come through. There's a lot of talk about living wages in the country today, and that could be a significant trigger. But as of right now, the growth of 11-12% is basically largely volume driven, and we believe that to lift our growth to high teens, we need volume plus price. And I think something around the price and minimum wage or living wage seems to be on the horizon. So I will only draw your attention to a fact that in previous years, and since listing, if you go back to FY17 to now, you know, all slowdown periods, all COVID periods included, all the quarters, if you take a quarter-on-quarter view on SIS's growth, we have put out, and we put out every quarter a chart which shows the change in revenue from Q1 of FY18 to latest quarter, that stands at a CAGR of 15.8%. So I think there is enough evidence that SIS is a high teens growth business, and we have every reason to believe that that's what we will do in the coming quarters and years. FM segment margin is a bigger question. I think FM segment margin has been struggling primarily on account of the fact that we had taken on contracts on fixed INR charges, on low margin charges, which we are trying to shed. Some contracts have been shed this year also. That's why the FM business has only grown ballpark 10 odd percent. I believe that large part of the work is done, and I am quite hopeful that FM will start to improve its margin profile starting the first quarter.
So if I may follow up, while I get the revenue slowdown is because of shedding of low margin contracts, the margins also, you know, seem to be at a low. So is it because of adverse operating leverage, or, you know, what explains the dip in margins?
Well, I mean, it's exactly what you said. You know, every time you're shedding revenue, you're losing operating leverage. So you not only have to shed the bad contract, you have to also get the new contract at better margins so that the optimal size of each branch is maintained for each branch to be able to generate adequate margins for the overall company level EBITDA. So what is being gained through shedding a bad contract in a lot of cases has been lost in operating leverage loss. But I think these are things that are routine in our industry. It happens. Security was in the same shape last year, and I think people were very concerned about what's going to happen in the security margins. Security was at 4% around part margin. It went up to 6%. This quarter, security is showing up as 5.5 because we have only taken the opportunity to provision an additional 10 crores. You know, on account of, outstanding on the auditor's advice. This is despite the fact that security has significantly improved its collection in Q4 versus Q3. But despite a much better DSO number, based on auditor advice, we've taken additional provisioning. And that's why security is looking like 5.5%. Otherwise, it's in the same 5.86% range. So if this can happen in security, it can happen in FM, and it will happen.
So I answered my third question on the security business, QOQ EBITDA margin compression. So that answers all my questions, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Balaji.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Garima from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks so much for the opportunity. First question is on the India security business. If I look at the billed employee count, right, this growth was very small in FY24. And this is after a year where there have been a lot of, you know, back-to-office occurrences as well as, you know, public facilities all operating fully. So how should we think about this growth going forward in FY25-26? What are some of the steps being taken to really revive this growth?
So Garima, I think since SIS got listed, you know, I think you have been asking the same question around a headcount and headcount change and increase. I've said this multiple times in the past. SIS wants to de-link revenue growth and headcount growth as much as possible. And we want higher prices for every headcount. We want more solution-oriented sales, which are non-manpower-oriented. And if you're going to measure SIS growth like a staffing company basis headcount, it will always end up misleading. So, long story short, don't follow headcount. This year, for example, we have invoiced more than 100 crores out of our alarm business, which has zero manpower. We have billed 100 crores, generated 20% EBITDA from our WeProtect business, which is rolled into our security operations, where there is no manpower. We haven't deployed a single guard. So, I think you have to see that, you know, from a margin perspective and a growth perspective, SIS is looking more towards solutions.
Understood, Rituraj. But even if I look at overall revenue growth, right, of the India security business, are you happy with the 11% growth posted?
Absolutely not happy. That I can say loud and clear. SIS has maintained an annual growth rate of 15.8%, like I was just saying, since our listing. So this is certainly not our best year. This is not going to be how SIS is going to be operated. This is a reflection of two factors. Number one, price and volume. Price didn't come through. That's one big reason. And the second big reason is that we've been extremely margin focused. We implemented a 3T policy where we have walked away from a lot of contracts, a lot of negotiations on account of lower margins. We are very keen on improving our gross margin. Now SIS gross margin is over 12%. And, you know, we are very focused that we don't want to see a dip in our margins. And that's the way it's going to continue. We believe that we are a premium brand. We have to have pricing power. It's a little difficult, you know, but, you know, my view is that do I want 25% growth at the cost of lower margins? My answer is no. I'd rather take 15% growth and good operating margins and EBITDA.
Okay, understood. And from just a modeling standpoint, you know, the effective tax rate, how should we look at this number going forward? Because again, to the point of headcount addition, you know, headcount does feed into the tax benefit that you get a lot. And hence, it's important for us to get a handle on both headcount addition as well as the tax rate.
Well, more or less, I think Divesh is the right guy to answer this question. But, you know, my view on it is that ATJJ obviously is a big aspect of our effective tax rate. But having said that, SIS as a business since listing has pretty much been nil tax because of ATJJ. And in these years, we've had super growth years and we've had 11% growth years. So I think last 7 years of listed track record and how ATJJ impacts is evidence enough. But anyways, I'd ask Devesh to give you a more technically correct answer.
I think what you should do when you're modeling the tax or the tax rate is just very simple, split it into two. For India, please model a zero tax because almost all businesses are getting the benefit of ATJJ. And so pretty much model it as a current tax, on a current tax basis, model it as a zero tax. For international business, you can model 30% because both Australia and New Zealand are on 30% and Singapore, I think, is on 18 or 22%. So that's on the current tax. What happens is based on the growth rate, the quantum of growth for employees is what drives also the deferred tax number. That is sometimes difficult to predict. As you've seen this year, where the growth was lower than last previous years, we had this issue on the deferred tax and the deferred tax asset created coming down. and that is sort of, in one sense, distorted the PAT. So I think this is how you should do the modeling. If you want, I'm happy to have a one-on-one discussion and take you through it in more detail.
Is helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Heath from Guardian Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello there. Is there a question? Heath.
Hello? Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you're audible loud and clear.
So my question was on Henderson. Given, you know, we've seen the profitability improve in Henderson, why was this impairment done in Henderson, if you could give some light on that?
So basically, what happened is that Henderson was acquired pre-COVID. And it was a $50 million business at that point in time. And we had done a standard stage-wise transaction with them. You know, we acquired 60% and we were to acquire the remaining 40 over a five-year period. And the promoter was to drive the business himself for 5 years. And he had a, you know, sort of a earn-out structure linked to his performance. But what happened that after COVID, he wanted to tap out in 2021 because the business was going south. Now, the complexity was that because at the time of transaction, taking into account the five-year business plan and what we could have had to pay, we took a goodwill charge. But the transaction had to conclude in 2021 itself when he sold his 40%. Obviously, we bought it for significantly lesser price. But there is a mismatch between the goodwill charged during initial transaction as well as against the actual amount paid. So that mismatch plus the real fact that it is no longer a $50 million business, it's a $30 million business. On both accounts, the auditors have asked for impairment and we believe that it's only fair and reasonable that the impairment be taken. And that's what's being done. But from what I want the investor community to know is that Henderson today is $30 million, it is a profitable business and it is likely to grow this year. They have booked orders worth $3 to $4 million. It's a, on a $30 million base, $3 to $4 million of business, new orders received in Q1 means that they will have pretty decent growth from an international markets perspective. The second thing what you must understand is Henderson has more than $20 million of its own cash in reserve. So it's not a sort of either an underperforming business or a load in any way on cash flows of international operations or on India. So it's a well-funded business and is going well. This impairment is more bookkeeping and hygiene action. It's a non-cash charge.
Okay, got it. Just one more question. So we had said that, you know, in the growth that we had till now, it was largely volume growth and very little of wage growth. Now, assuming that, you know, with the new financial year starting, we would have to an extent, you know, done our new arrangement with the client. So are we seeing that wage growth or how is that working?
Wage growth in our sector is not agreed between client and service provider. It is linked to the minimum wage as notified by the government.
Okay.
Generally, governments notify minimum wages state government and central government on two occasions, one April and one October. Even now on 1 April, most of the state governments have opted not to revise. As yet, they will probably take their decision after elections. And second, that there is also a lot of chatter, as you have seen in the newspapers, around living wages and the implementation of living wages. Now, you must understand, you know, for those who have not sort of delved into labor and wage setting in much detail, there are three types of wages. One is called the minimum wage, which is more a sustenance level pay. The second is called fair wage, which is higher than minimum wage. And the third is called living wage, which is even higher than fair wage. Now, Government of India seems to be toying with the idea of living wages. I am not sure what exactly will happen, but it is almost certain that post this election, if the same government comes back to power, they will look to implement the four labor codes and something substantial around the wages, which have not been given due attention since after COVID, because the general chatter in the corridors has been that the economy is just about recovering. They don't want to load the manufacturing and the service sector with a wage increase, with a significant wage increase. But let me tell you one important thing, that as and when this wage increase happens, it is going to be a cost increase for most businesses, most listed entities, barring for companies like SIS, for which this is going to be a direct revenue driver and a margin bump up, not a margin bump up, but an absolute value profit bump up. Margin may remain the same, but we will get a higher rupee value because the revenue will inflate. So I think it will be interesting to watch what happens in the next 100 days that the government is talking so aggressively about.
Gotcha. That was it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Viraj Sangwa, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. My question is regarding the recent investment that has been done in Imoha Elder Care. So I understand like it's a upcoming space. And I see a good future in that, but the investment seems to be very small. I think it's just 4%. So just wanted to get your view, the management's view, what's the plan regarding it? Because what I see, like in 4%, I doubt if we can get hold of any technological aspect. So yeah, just your view on that investment. Thanks.
Well, great question. I think, you know, the way SIS is looking to build these businesses in the future, we keep looking at niches that will emerge as big opportunities in our security, cash and FM segments. For example, in cash, we have looked at, you know, segments like fintech for customer acquisition, which banks outsourcing. It's not directly related to our cash logistics business as of now, but I believe that as far as bank outsourcing is concerned, it could be interesting. Similarly, in security, we sell CCTV cameras, but we made an investment in Stacu, which is the video analytics company, which uses CCTV footage to analyze people count, productivity, fire, you know, all kinds of other AI applications. Similarly, in FM segment, we are very bullish on healthcare. We manage over 400 hospitals across India, and we've always believed that healthcare in India is a massive opportunity. Imoha for us is basically an extension of the healthcare, FM healthcare play. you know, while we are a part of the hospitals and healthcare in hospitals, there's also a large opportunity of healthcare services or healthcare FM services outside of hospitals, which is where Imoha comes in. You know, the elder care segment where people have to be taken care of at their homes or in old age homes. Community living. So, that's where Imoha comes up. It's an interesting brand. We think there's a huge amount of synergy, you know, in terms of manpower, training, other such things. And I believe that, you know, they have access into homes which actually, you know, for elders, just as healthcare is a big requirement, so is their security. And that's where We Protect, our alarm monitoring response business, steps in. So I think there's it's a very interesting extension of healthcare FM. It's also a very synergistic opportunity for us. That's why we stepped in with a small investment of 10 crore rupees, which yielded us only 4%. But Imoha this year is doing roughly 84 crore rupees of revenue already. And, you know, they have aggressive plans. And, you know, we have 4%, but we are already the second largest owner in Imoha. And we believe that if the business performs on track, we will follow up with further tranches of investment. So that's our thinking around Imoha. I hope it helps.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul Mehta from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, team. Thanks for the opportunity. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Mr. Ruturaj, you said that, you know, since listing, our India security business has compounded at about 15.8%. Is that correct?
SIS Group has compounded at 17 to 24 at 15.8%. Group, not SIS Security. Security will be higher.
Okay. So in that, like, you know, how would have been industry grown? So in the sense, like, you know, we have gained market share. So wanted to have some idea, like, you know, in terms of, like, you know, what would have been industry growth of security during the same period and how would have we grown? Is that possible to share?
There is no third-party official data that I could lean on. But, I mean, the closest idea I could give you is that wage inflation in the same period, year on year, has been between 5 to 6%. So everybody in this industry would have had at least 5 to 6% growth because of wage inflation. Plus, there has been more economic opportunity. The economy has been doing well after COVID. So I think, you know, I'd say that people would have certainly grown 5% plus. Whether they have grown as an industry has grown 8 or 10% or 12%, or it's hard for me to you know, sort of take a guess in that direction. But yeah, that's the broad range. But I could tell you more specifically the competitors that we track.
Yeah.
Between the top 10 security companies in India, our 10 closest competitors,
right,
we have maintained the highest growth rate on a CAGR basis for the last 7 years back to back. So that's how we picked up market share.
Right. And in terms of, is there, like, you know, I mean, like, you know, there would definitely contribution from inorganic growth also, like, you know, when you are mentioning this growth rate.
We haven't acquired anything after 2019.
Okay. So prior to that, if you are looking at, like, you know, say for last decade, then it would have been, like, you know, so just wanted to share, maybe if I can have one-on-one interaction, like, in post with you, like, you know, then, like, maybe if you can share some sort of number. So gives some idea that how we are going and, like, in going forward, like, you know, when we are, like, you know, I think you have given, like, in 5-year projection also, like, you know, that how you want to grow, like, you know, in terms of security as well as facility management.
No, I have not given any projection, my friend. What I'm telling you is that in the last five, we have been listed for 7 years. Last acquisition was made 6 years back or 5 years back. And
I'm not talking about,
at our numbers,
sorry to interrupt, but I'm not talking about past historic growth. What I'm saying is that I think in last year presentation you have given guidance something where you want to grow that in the business
I'm not sure what you're referring to, but please, we'll take it offline. You're more than welcome.
Sure.
We sit down and we can talk. But as I've said even today on the call, that I believe at a segmental level, security can maintain high teens growth.
Sure. I'll come back. Yeah, I'll have one-on-one interaction. We'll come. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Sanket Kapoor from Kapoor and Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So what explains this other expenses decline year on year, sir, on a consolidated basis?
Just give me a minute.
And also, sir, on the debt, on the net debt to EBITDA, I missed your in your opening remark. What are we eyeing for the current year? What should be the ballpark number which we will be comfortable with?
I have always said that for us, 2x net debt to EBITDA is sort of a red line. We want to stay below that. We also believe that under 1x gearing, net debt to EBITDA is underutilizing the balance sheet in a high cash flow generating business like ours. So our reality lies between 1x to 2x, and we keep fluctuating between these two thresholds. And if you see the track record of last 7 years, you will see that that's been the trend also.
Okay. And sir, in your opening remark, you did mention about one of the merger partners which is due in the NCLT. I missed that opening remark also. For the sake of repetition, can you indulge once again? What were you referring to?
SIS, if you've been following SIS has taken a decision to demerge its cash shareholding. The cash joint venture that we run, we want to list it via demerger. And I was just informing everybody that the demerger scheme is now almost ready and we'll be filing in the next few weeks.
Okay, so the ratios and other modalities are not yet been in public domain?
No. It's very premature for that. We are just filing for demerger and other details will follow.
Okay, it is only the intention, with an intent we are doing, but we will be coming with the ratios also when we will be filing the same.
Absolutely.
Okay, so when will that be the reality? When will we, your investors will knowing it, what ratio and what the timeline?
I think it's more second half of the year. And remember, it will be a mirror demerger.
Okay.
So if you have one share of SIS, you will get one share of?
No, so the way it works.
Explain, Devesh, please.
So because SIS at this point owns 49% shares in the JV, so every shareholder of SIS will get a proportionate share in the JV to the extent of that 49%. So that's how the mirror demerger works. There's no real ratio which is actually going to end up taking place. Though for statutory purposes, you will have to create you'll have to get an independent valuation report, but typically it's going to be this way. It's a mirror demerger. So if there are 49 shareholders in SIS having one share each, they'll all get one proportionate share in the cash business to the extent of the 49%. That's how the scheme is going to work. On the first question you had on the expenses, why the expenses are reduced, I think we should all be pleased if expenses are getting reduced. That shows in SG&A control. But it's partly in SG&A control and partly it could be the subcontracting expenses in Australia may have also come down, but if you want, I can give you a more detailed answer separately.
Sir, your mirror part of the story is not yet understood. Once you are telling mirror means, sir, am I holding?
So let me explain again. Let's say you have 20% shares in FIS. Okay?
No, I hold 100 shares in FIS. Now you explain me what will be my entitlement.
You have to look at it as a percentage. If you look at it as a number of shares, it's going to be difficult for me to explain. So let me explain it as a percentage. A shareholder holding 10% shares in FIS will get 4.9% shares in the resulting JV company. Because 10% into 49% is 4.9%. So if you look at it on a percentage basis, that's how you will get your number.
Okay. So then the ratios will be very different. It is only the merging of the same that you are explaining, that since SIS holds 49% in the JV, that get extracted out to a separate entity. That's how you are explaining.
The ratio will get the proportionate share to make it a total of 49%.
Right, sir. And what are the this annual year revenue and the profitability from the JV?
So from the JV, if you look at the page what of the earnings note page. We'll just give you the annual numbers. So for Q4 it was 162 crores. For the full year it was 634 crores. If you look at page 13 of the earnings note, the numbers are there given out.
Okay. I'll go through that inside. The profitability number, also you can mention, it is it revenue, I think so you mentioned.
So 634 and the EBITDA is 106.
106. Right. Thank you, sir. And if there is anything left, I'll take it offline from madam. Thank you.
Yes, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Sen from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. This might be a repeated question. I joined the call a bit late. Can you please explain the dip in margins in this quarter?
So yes, this has been asked and also responded. I'll be very brief on this. So as far as the India security business is concerned, overall margins were actually similar, but on auditor's advice, in spite of having a better and strong collection quarter, on auditor's advice, we've taken an extra provision for doubtful debts, and that is what has reduced the, it's a one-off thing which has reduced the margin in this quarter, but otherwise we are overall on a 5.8% to 6% steady margin state in India security. International business has been more or less steady. In FM, also as explained, the rationalization of contracts continue, and because we are shedding low margin contracts, we are losing that bit of operating leverage for a temporary period of time, which with the compensating factor of new contracts coming in and new gross margin coming in, we expect this to come back on stream over the next 1 or 2 quarters.
All right, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rituraj Sinha for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Rituraj has just left the room, so this is Vineet here. So I would like to thank all of you for participating. I hope all the questions put up, we could answer them. And very happy to take them offline as the IR team is always available. Thank you. With this, we would like to close the call and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of ISS Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.